DeMontis. I'm your host, Rita DeMontis, on Canada Talk, Sirius XM Channel 167. We are now talking foraging, wild food foraging. And we have here Karen Stevenson, and her expertise is getting out and getting dirty and looking for the food that is hidden right under our noses. Welcome, Karen. Welcome to Dishing with DeMontis.
Thank you, Rita, and thank you for having me on the show.
This is pretty exciting because foraging is... it's really evolving and coming into its own. I mean, I grew up in a family of foragers. My dad and his friends would go out in the fall and look for mushrooms. But there's so much happening now. The important thing, though, is when you are foraging, you have to know exactly what you're foraging for. Can you elaborate a little bit on that?
Absolutely. For many people, they're getting very frustrated with the quality of their food, and to find out that there is so much food out there that is free, they're not taking the important steps, and that's educating themselves on, number one, how to properly identify plants, and plants more specifically that are edible, and everything that goes around with that. Like, there's people going out there foraging on private property, and so it's not just, hey, it's out there, I can take it. There's some rules and regulations out there, too.
I can only imagine. And also, it's seasonal. So what would you say, it's spring, and what should people be, apart from getting ready and understanding exactly what they're foraging for, what does spring, you know, showcase?
Right now, everything's popping up.
Oh, nice.
What tends to be the most sought-after item this time of year are wild leeks. And yes, they are incredibly tasty, and they certainly are a wonderful treat, but that is the word that we need to focus on. They should be a treat. They have been over-harvested in Quebec to the point where there are some strict laws and regulations, and if you're caught, you are fined quite heavily. So, but depending on the area in which you live in, for example, Virginia, Kentucky, a lot of the Northeast United States, they are in abundance. So they have festivals, and so it's also good to know what the rules and regulations are in your local area. But here in Ontario, we're okay right now, but still take, you know, just take what you need, not
overdo it.
No,
don't be greedy, in other words.
Bingo.
Oh, very nice. And let's say I would like to learn how to forage. I don't know where to start. I live in a condo with absolutely no balconies, and I'm 18 floors above the ground. But I'd love to go into like my parks and everything and start identifying, not so much as picking without understanding what I'm picking. So what would you suggest people do who are interested in just recreational foraging?
For recreational foraging, if you don't, get yourself a couple of books. Lone Pine Publishers, I will always, always recommend their books. They are absolutely incredible, exceedingly well-priced. The one that I'm looking at right now, it's called Edible and Medicinal Plants of Canada. Amazing, amazing bang for your buck. It's only $30. And, gosh, I think Canadian Tire actually sells those.
Oh, cool.
Go on the internet. Make sure you are going to credible websites, people who have actually taken the time to build websites. There's myself, of course, which is ediblewildfood.com. There's Green Dean. There's Wild Man Steve Brill in New York City. These guys have been at it for a long time. Many people like to throw up a blog or, you know, a WordPress blog. Some of them are great, and they have some great information, but others are not presenting correct information.
I see. And, you know, there's so many things in play here. Mind you, wild plants are apparently more nutritious, and apart from being affordable, but they have incredible health benefits as opposed to things that you may buy in bulk.
Absolutely. One of the most common plants around are the clovers. Red clover in particular I'll focus on.
Really?
Red clover, many, many people who come to Canada from Europe, from Asia, they have memories of eating red clover flowers when they were children. But over here, they've been taboo. But not anymore. People are learning that, yes, those flowers are tasty, and the leaves as well. And they have a huge content of vitamin C, your B1, B2. Three, a lot of your minerals like calcium, magnesium, phosphorus, potassium. But what they're really well noted for is that they have a high concentration of isoflavones. And two of them in particular, I'm not going to get technical, actually are proven to prevent cancer. Now, I'm not saying go out there and start eating red clovers because you're not going to get cancer. But it's part of the equation to helping to prevent cancer.
That's amazing. I remember my mother-in-law, she used to grow chamomile.
There
was something so, like, it just tasted so incredible the way she used to steep it, and we'd have chamomile tea every day, and it was really, really refreshing and lovely, and it was so soothing, and I had no idea that I had a wonderful, idyllic summer because I was drinking chamomile right out of her garden.
Yeah. And when you capture it fresh, that's when it's at its maximum for goodness for you.
Exactly. And mushrooms. Now, that's an area of expertise. You really have to know your mushrooms before you go crazy and start plucking them.
Oh, yes, because if you make a mistake eating a plant, usually, I mean, apart from poison ivy, poison oak, and maybe poison hemlock, but if you eat the wrong plant, the worst case scenario, you're going to be sitting on the toilet for a few hours.
Okay.
Or maybe some bad cramping. But that's worst case scenario. Whereas if you misidentify a mushroom or a fungi, that could cost your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could see that. But still, at the end of the day, if you know what you're doing, and if you go out with someone who is familiar with the land, I can't think of a better way to spend an afternoon with someone who knows what they're doing, you know, getting dressed up for the elements and just going around wandering, let's say, your local park or some property that is accessible to the public, to the community, and just start looking at the plants that are there. Because sometimes we go for walks, we get our bike or whatever, and we miss this bounty that's right under our nose.
Absolutely. We're busy looking up at the birds or this, you know, enjoying the sunshine, but we're not looking down. And when you look down and you start learning, that is edible, this is edible, this, it becomes overwhelming for somebody who's learning right off the bat.
Well, you know, take dandelions. Years and years ago, I knew people who go out at night and pick dandelions, and they were the best things for you. And, you know, they were sort of like, oh, look at those people. They're picking weeds, and they're going to eat the weeds. But the weeds were full of nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're expensive.
Yeah, and dandelions are being sold in grocery stores, so there you go.
There you go.
That's the
everything
segue.
Comes around. It's a great equalizer in our lives.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
Tell me you've traveled extensively as a forager.
Yep.
Can you tell me the differences, let's say, in North America, let's say from Vancouver to Ontario, what's really hot and happening out in the West as opposed to in the East, and even, you know, going around like Montreal or Newfoundland even?
What you're going to find is that probably 80% of what of the knowledge that you have living here in Central/Eastern Canada, you're going to find in Western Canada. You're going to find in the Southern states. You're going to find out on the East Coast.
Oh, okay. So
they are, because many, many, many of these plants have been brought over here from Europe, from Asia. They've naturalized, and they do well because, you know, they are, quote-unquote, in the Northern Hemisphere. So there, of course, there are different plants that grow. There are different plants due to climate. But if you, for example, have this, you know, were to get this book that I mentioned earlier, the Edible and Medicinal Plants of Canada, you're going to find it's, coast to coast, and it'll take you straight down into Texas even.
Well, that's exciting. Actually, it's a lot of fun. I could see, you know, getting a group of people together and saying, rather than go to the movies or whatever, let's just go out and forage and let's see what we can find and let's see what we can create with it afterwards.
Absolutely.
Being mindful, of course, and respectful of what the bounty is, the wild leeks that have been over foraged, as we say.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. And it's the same with fungi because, of course, next month, May, is morel month.
Ooh, and, morels are so good.
Oh, and they're so tasty. And but the same thing, it's just take what you need, not what you're going to, don't hoard. It's just not right.
And you can forage also the wild blueberries that come up in August, if I'm correct, out in BC and in Ontario.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember we grew strawberries. Strawberries are crazy. You can put one plant and within 2 hours you'll have like five plants.
Yeah.
It's sort of like that the gift that never and, you know, keeps on giving.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Strawberries, raspberries, dewberries, blackberries, you name it. Yeah.
It's wonderful. And just going out there and just plucking and eating.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any favorite recipes?
Oh, gosh.
Where do we start?
I have to say my all-time favorite is I had turned vegetarian at one point. I still eat a little bit of poultry now. But at one point, I wanted to become a total vegetarian. And one thing I missed most was the buffalo wings. Because I love my hot wings. And so I was desperately thinking,
forage for some wild wings.
What's the vegetarian answer to that? and it's the milkweed pods. When you collect milkweed pods that are no longer than 2 inches long, you can create buffalo milkweed pods. And
really?
The recipe is on my website, actually. So
I'm going to look for that.
Oh, tasty. But you have to get them before they get up to 2 inches long. Not any longer, because, of course, that's when the seed is starting to develop.
Mm-hmm.
So the texture is not going to be quite conducive to what you were expecting.
That's pretty interesting, though. I like that. It's just reinventing a favorite food and
being
respectful and mindful at the same time.
Yeah.
Well, so we're looking at spring is a time for, as you said, morels, and our favorite berries are going to be coming up. In the summer, what are we looking at?
Oh, my. It's like a kid in the candy store for me. That's a hard question to answer.
I'd like to go out with you, actually. I could just see, you know, I'd be wandering around going, oh, look at all the green here. And you're going, no, Rita, this is this and this and this and this. It's like a pharmacy on the ground.
Yeah, literally, there's a pharmacy. Actually, one of the plants that I'm really looking forward to seeing again are the broadleaf plantain. Not only is broadleaf plantain good for you, healthy, it is absolutely incredible to make as for skin creams.
Oh.
And and if you have a cut, not a gash, not a major gash, but if you cut yourself, you're bleeding, you take the leaf, you chew it, you get the juice of the leaf going, you rub the cut, it's antibacterial, antimicrobial, antiseptic, and it's a styptic, so it'll stop the bleeding, bang, within about 3 to 4 seconds.
That's amazing, Karen. This is so exciting. I know we've got all our listenership across Canada. They're so excited to go out and forage now. Mind you, in the middle of the city, somebody will forage for a new car. Karen Stevenson, wild food educator. Your website is ediblewildfood.com. And, of course, you have a Facebook page, which is ediblewildfood.com.
.com.
This is so exciting. Thank you so much for joining us today on Dishing with DeMontis.
Thank you. Much appreciated.
Everyone else, wait right there. You don't want to miss the dish.